3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 for a few minutes. I want to encourage you. Most of you know I was in Ohio this past week at the Fellowship Baptist Church. That is the home of the Fellowship Track League. If you go out in our vestibule, there is a rack on the wall back there, and it has these little pamphlets. We call them gospel tracks. What they do, they're all different kinds. They have different fronts on them, but basically every one of them do the same thing. They take portions of Scripture, and they share the gospel and tell somebody how to be saved. That's what a gospel track is. What I want to do tonight is just take a minute and share some things that I saw and heard while I was in Ohio and try to encourage you to get excited again about handing out gospel tracts. I notice that thing goes in phases around here. The track rack will be full and it'll stay full for a while, and all of a sudden people make up their mind, I'm going to get some gospel tracts. And I tell you what, I'm praying the Lord would convict every one of us tonight. Listen, I'm going to read Luke chapter number 16 and verse number 15. We call this the Great Commission. The Great Commission, or the Great Command. This is what Jesus told the church to do. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Would you agree that it is the church's job to evangelize? To evangelize means to spread the gospel. Many churches, I believe they are even ceasing to be churches because they are no longer evangelizing the lost. Listen, we want to train our converts. We want to see people grow in the Lord. We want to see them baptized. We want to see them discipled. But first, you got to get them saved. Amen. I know we're in the buckle of the Bible Belt, and used to, there was a day when everybody you talked to in Villarica, Georgia, they would belong to a church somewhere in town, and they were all saved. That's not the case anymore. People are moving here from all over the place, and I'm telling you, we are surrounded by people who need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, everybody doesn't have the boldness and the courage to get out on the street corner like Brother Freddie and Brother Thomas did today and preach the gospel. That is the Great Commission. But do you understand, when you leave a gospel tract for somebody, in a sense, you are preaching the gospel. You are giving the gospel to another individual. Hey, you can leave them in bathrooms. You can leave them. I get tickled all the time. The end of my street is where I always get gas, right there at the Patriots gas station at the end of our road. And just about, I don't know, every other time or so I get gas, I go to pull the thing out of the pump, and there's a gospel track stuck in it from our church. I like that. I like that. And it's not there because I put it there. It's there because somebody in our church did. So I pump my gas and I'll move it and I'll just neatly put it back when I'm done. And I enjoy that. I get complaints on my phone. In my office, I told y'all about the guy the manager of the Walmart, and I forgot where it was. It wasn't our Walmart, but it was Union City. Called me on a weekly basis, chewing me out. He said we were tracking up his parking lot. And I thought, I like that. Had the manager of Publix call me one day and said, look, we don't mind your people handing out tracts, but please don't put them inside the products. Amen. You know, like a thing of butter, you open the lid and it's got that protective seal. They'd open the lid and put a track in between. I thought they'd go to the beer section. Amen. Amen. They'd go to the beer section and put tracts down in those cases of beer, man. I like that. That's good stuff. I want to encourage you to give the gospel to people. That is our job. Amen. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hey, listen, get you some tracts before you leave here tonight. The rack is full. I looked at it before church. There's plenty out there. You say, I have a hard time witnessing. This will do it for you. This will do it for you. If you're afraid you'll get in trouble on your job or something, ask Brother Jerry. Where's Brother Jerry? Ask Brother Jerry to get you some that don't have a stamp on them. Amen. They're out there. They're unmarked. There's a whole thing of unmarked tracks back there. That way you can be covert. Amen. But listen, it's a good idea. You say, well, people don't read those things. I'm going to prove you different tonight. The first year I went to Fellowship Baptist Church in Lebanon, Ohio, they call it their Bread of Life camp meeting. The very first year I went, part of the camp meeting, it's camp meeting, but it's centered around the Fellowship Track League ministry. And all week, every service, they'll get up and read letters that people have sent in. And on Tuesday every year, We go out to the track league, to the printing ministry itself, and actually cut, fold, and box tracks and load a container to send to the mission field. This year, we sent one to Peru. But the very first year I went, we shipped 10.5 million gospel tracks to India. 10.5 million tracks. We loaded that container, and I know this doesn't sound real spiritual, but you just have to be there. I'd like to encourage you to go one year and be a part of that. And then all the preachers, we gathered around that container, and that old truck driver, man, that was hauling the container, he didn't know what to think. We surrounded that container and began to pray. We prayed for about 30 minutes, man, over those gospel tracks going to India. Well, that night in the service, they did the Skype thing on the computer, and we talked to the pastor, the national pastor there in India that they were going to. His name is Peter Tumai. When I got there, this was in 2011, so that's been what, 11, 12, 13, 14, 3 years. 3 years ago, we sent 10.5 million tracts to India. From India, they went into five different countries over there, Nepal, Bhutan, Burma, I can't remember all those names, but there's five little countries over there. When I got there this year, Brother Jim McGahee, who was driving me back and forth, he picked me up. He said, "Guess who's here?" I said, "Who's that?" He said, "You remember that first year you came and we sent those 10.5 million tracks to India?" I said, "Yeah, yes, Brother Peter." He said, "He's here in the meeting." They flew him here, spent over $2,000 to fly that man to Ohio just to tell the people what happened with those 10.5 million tracks. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. 3 years, 3 years to the date since they received those 10.5 million tracks. Over 300 churches have been established. Let me say that again. Over 300 churches have been established. Here was the neat thing. Some of those countries, the Bible is not allowed. They cannot have a copy of the scriptures. But for some reason, they found a loophole and they can get the gospel tracts in. So we have men pastoring churches, and here's what the missionary said. He said, now don't think too much of that. He said, "Well, a lot of these are just house churches." I said, "Oh, okay." He said, "They'll usually have 60 or 70 in a house church." I said, "Man, that's doing better than a lot of established churches here in the States, amen?" He said, "They'll have 60 or 70 in a house church." Had another missionary there who went over to preach. They built a, this is right at the foot of the Himalayan mountains, Brother Greg. I mean, it's cold. They built a bamboo structure and covered the top of it with polyethylene plastic, sent out the word that they were having a revival meeting. Over 15,000 people showed up. Many of them walked for days just to be there and sat in 32-degree weather to hear the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We take for granted what we have. We take so for granted what we have. Look, Brother Peter told me, he said, "Brother Wyatt," he said, "it's amazing." He said, "I will send word into those other countries, Bhutan being one of them, it's on the other side of the Himalayan mountains, that we have tracks." He said, "One of those men, one of those pastors, will hike 3 days across the Himalayan mountains, and he can only carry one box of tracks because they weigh 42 pounds per box, and he'll throw that 42-pound box of tracks on his shoulder, turn around, walk 3 days back, just so he can give the gospel to the village where he lives." They will hike 6 days to be able to give somebody a gospel tract. We are spoiled absolutely rotten. Can you imagine walking 6 days just for a box of gospel tract? They had a guy there to interview one of the local pastors when he arrived. He waited on him for 2 days to get there just so he could interview this guy and write an article about him in one of our religious periodical papers. And the guy waited on him for 2 days. The little pastor showed up. And you got to imagine, all these guys are Mongolian and Tibetan and all that. And they're little bitty dudes, man. I mean, they're little bitty guys. I'm just little. And the guy showed up and got his box of tracks. And the guy said, "Wait a minute, I want to interview you. I want to hear what's going on in your village." He said, "Ask him, I must go." Yes, sir, brother. He wouldn't even take the time to give an interview, son. He had to get them gospel tracts back up over that mountain and to that people who were dying and going to hell. I tell you what, that encouraged a fire out of me, brother. Man, here we are. They're at our disposal. They're free of charge, and there's no legal, there's no law, no nothing, and we can leave them everywhere we go, and we don't do it. I want to encourage you. They work. They work. These people are seeing literally thousands of people. Can you imagine me getting up here Sunday morning with no Bible? This is all I had. And preach to you from that gospel tract. They're doing it week in and week out and week in and week out. Brother Peter has the Fellowship Track League puts out like a little newspaper, and this is from Brother Peter, the guy over in India. It says, bad news and good news from Bhutan mission trip. Let me find my glasses. Don't you listen to his good news and bad news. He said, the bad news is that I can no longer enter Bhutan for at least 5 years. Here are the reasons. Number one, converting too many Bhutanese to Christianity, said the officer who arrested me. Smuggling in too many Dzongka, I guess I'm saying that right, Dzongka Bibles, of which I did not do. Of course, I did send in English Bibles. Number three, for translating Bible tracts and sending in too many of them. Of course, I did do this. For having too many followers in Bhutan. That's why they told him he couldn't come back to Bhutan. Over 300 churches. I don't know how much we send a month, but Fellowship Track League receives our support. Brother Brown was here with the Track League some months ago, just passing through on vacation. And he always preaches a message on six tracks. He says one penny will print six tracks. Not here in America, but in those other countries, one track is read by an average of seven people. They will pass it on and on and on and on. It's as valuable to them as a $100 bill is to us. They will get that one gospel track and read it to as many that will listen. There's letters and stories where people have written in and said, could you please send me another gospel track? The one I have is so worn I can barely read it anymore. Wow. We are spoiled, absolutely rotten. God has given us the freedom. He's given us the liberty. He's given us the finances. Amen. Man, you ought to consider giving to missions. Part of that goes to print these gospel tracts. I want to read you some letters tonight. I told you I wouldn't be very long, but I want to share some of this stuff with you. This is from the Philippines. Just a note to let you know, at least three ministries have contacted us, and we have made tracts available to them to use in the area affected by the typhoon. Our ministry is about 500 miles north of the area that was hit. Thank you for helping us to have these tracts so that they could be used to get the gospel out in this devastated area. Here's one from Bolivia. For many years, we have enjoyed receiving your tracts. They have been a tremendous blessing. We have passed them out all over the town, in the hospitals, the train stations, bus stations, and markets. We have shared the tracts with pastors that minister to remote areas. Many people have been saved. We now only have a few tracts. We are enclosing a check for two boxes of tracts. May the Lord richly bless you. Here's one from the United Kingdom. This is by a lady named Rosemary. She said, I have read your tract and have been saved. I am being baptized soon, God willing. I am so glad I have found Jesus. Please pray for me. Here's one all the way from Kenya in Africa. It says, when I received your tract, I decided to follow Jesus as my Savior because the world we are living in has so many problems. Many people today do not fear God. I will continue to do the will of God in this short time He has given me in this world. I know one day we will rejoice with Him in heaven forever. Thank you for your tract. It was the will of God that I got it in Kenya that day. That's by a lady named Martha. Here's one from Brazil. Thank you so much for the big box of gospel tracts. I have found that tracts are an important way to spread God's word. Many souls have had salvation through the gospel tracts. God has worked in the hearts of many people with the tracts. I have handed out over 10,550 tracts in my community. Thank you to all who give to the Fellowship Track League that enables us to get the tracks out. Thank you to Fellowship Track League for printing the tracks. May God bless you all. If this is not boring you, I'm going to read a couple of more. Here's one from a fella by the name of James. He said, please be informed of my inadvertent reception of your glorious track. However, I realized that it was an ordained of God. It seemed to have been carelessly discarded, and I was blessed to have found it. I want to help spread the good news about eternal life to my neighbors. Thank the Lord that he saved me. Please send me some tracks. Thank you. This guy found a track. We worry about handing somebody a track and them throwing it down. Somebody's going to pick that up. Don't worry about it. If they throw it down, leave it. Just leave it, man. Somebody's going to pick that up. Amen. Here's one from a young lady named Megan. She said, I was recently saved. I have turned my life over to God and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I wanted to know if you have a Bible study. I want to learn as much as I can about the Bible. Here's another one from a young man named Christopher. He said, today I ask God into my life to change my ways for the good and for me to be a better father to my children. I need to be and that I need to be to my kids that I love very much. I'm asking God to take my life in his hands and make me whole. Here's another one from a man named Marvin. Yes, I have turned my life over to God and asked him to save me. I know that I'm a sinner, but I want to change and go God's way. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sin. Thank you all so much for the gospel track. Please add me to your mailing list so that I can receive some tracks. Marvin. Here's another one from a fellow named Barry. I have decided to trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior after reading your tract. Thank you for your mission and service to everyone, including me, a sinner in New York. Here's another one by Stephen. I have decided to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior after reading your tract, Christmas in Your Heart. Thank you. Here's another one from a fellow named Corey. He said, my name is Corey, and I am currently incarcerated. I read one of your tracks called All This I Did for Thee and loved it. So I'm letting you know that I have accepted Christ as my Savior. I would like to ask if you could send me anything to help strengthen my faith. Here's one from a young man named Kenneth. He said, my sinful ways got me locked up in prison, but Jesus saved me while I was here. I enrolled in a faith-based dorm because I thought it would look good on parole. Little did I know that Jesus would use this to bring me to salvation. Volunteers would come in and teach classes and witness to us and give us gospel tracts. Through this, I came to know the Lord. I have seen your tracts around and would like some to send to my family. I'm just telling you, people, they work. The commission of our church is to see people saved. It's not an exercise program. It's not a ladies' group. It's not a youth group. Amen. And it's okay to have those things, but they should never take place of spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you the one this morning, of course, everybody wasn't in here. There was a letter read at the meeting from a young lady. She was a drug addict, Brother Wayne. She went to the convenience store early one morning to buy drugs. She drove a convertible Mustang. It was a sunny day, so she had the top down. While she was out of her car doing her drug deal and buying her crack or meth or whatever it was, somebody walked by her car and the top was down and they just tossed a gospel track in her seat. Well, she got in her car after buying her drugs and she saw the track and she started cussing and wadded it up and threw it on the ground. As she did, a cop was walking out the store and he said, lady, pick that trash up or I'll have to write you a ticket. So she picked the gospel track up and threw it in the passenger floorboard. The next day, she picked up her little sister at school. And her little sister picked it up and said, what is this? She said, oh, it's some kind of preachy thing. The little girl got to reading it, and the dope head sister looked over, and tears were running down her little sister's face. She said, what's the matter with you? She said, I just did what this track said on the back. I just trusted Christ as my Savior. She got home, took it in the house, and shared it with her mama, and mama got saved. Shared it with brother, and brother got saved. Long story short, the dope head sister that tried to throw the track away, she got saved. There was a medical doctor, owned a large practice, went to Florida all by himself, left his family, his children, his practice. He was sitting on the beach with a loaded pistol fixing to blow his brains out. While he's sitting on the beach crying, contemplating ending his life, some trash blew down the beach. It was a gospel tract. That medical doctor picked up that gospel tract, read it, trusted Christ as his Savior. He sold his practice. He travels the world going to mission fields, treating people on the mission field medically. What was it? It was a gospel tract. Thank God he's given us the liberty and the opportunity, and we take it for granted. We take it for granted. My truck door, the little pocket in my truck door, is full of them. It's full of them. That's not a good thing. It should be empty of them. We should be refilling them on a regular basis. You don't know how to witness? Leave a gospel tract somewhere. My mother, I don't know if they still do it, but Pop, when they mail their bills, they put a gospel tract in with their bill and mail their bills in. Amen. That's not too forward. Amen. That's not too forward at all. It thrills me to death to walk into a public restroom and see a gospel tract laying on that counter. Amen. I had a guy here a while back. I forgot where I was. I've been gone so stinking much. I was in another state somewhere, and we stopped at the store and got some coffee, and I told the preacher, I said, I'm gonna run in the bathroom. And I walked in the bathroom, and a guy was washing his hands. He got through, and he reached in his pocket and started to lay a tract down on that counter. I said, brother, that's a blessing what you're doing. He said, sir, could I give you a tract? Do you know Christ? I mean, boy, he bared down on me. I started letting him lead me to the Lord just to encourage him. Amen. I said, buddy, I don't need that tract. Leave it for somebody who does. I'm saved. I'm here preaching in a meeting. And, man, we just had a good time in the bathroom. Amen. I'm telling you, it's a blessing, and they work. We've all been called to share the gospel. Every one of us. That's Brother Wayne's heart. Brother Wayne wants to go to Washington State, where there is not, I cannot believe there's not a Baptist church in Seattle as big as that city is. I had no idea Washington was that unchurched. I had no idea. Man, there's a need. There's a need. God's calling young preachers. He's not calling you to sit. He's calling you to serve. Somebody ought to get the bug. Amen. I've got somewhere I want to plant another church. Amen. Brother Caleb's doing well out in Colorado. Yes, amen. There's another little area. There's a little place in New Mexico I'd like to see a church. Amen. Amen. I've got several places on the map dotted, Brother Freddie. Amen. I'll never forget what Brother Fisher said when he was here, maybe a year before last. He said, the fruit of a Christian is what? Come on, another Christian. The fruit of a church is what? Another church. God's blessed us, and we ought to take what we have and share it with this world. I know it wasn't real preachy tonight, but I did want to encourage you to get you some gospel tracts. Get you some gospel tracts. Brother Bruce and Miss Mary, who used to pastor the Fellowship Tract League or the Fellowship Baptist Church, they're in evangelism back on the road now. And Brother Burroughs, who used to run the tract ministry, now he's pastoring the church. But Brother Bruce, he was here a while back. Y'all remember him and his wife saying, that's the witnessing, most witnessing man I've ever met in my life. And ever. He has his own tract with him and his wife's picture on it. They had that thing made up special. And he's a soul-winning machine. He asked me every service, Brother Eddie, you want to go out to eat? Not with you. You're going to be in a restaurant 2.5 hours. Because he's going to talk to everybody in that place and witness to everybody in that place, man. I'm telling you, those kind of people make me feel pretty small. Brother Peter, the little fella from India, he's actually Mongolian. Every night they would have him come to the pulpit before the preaching, and he would tell stories about things, and he's hard to understand with his accent, and he would tell stories about things that happened in India. And one of the hardest things in the world to do was to get up behind that guy and preach. Because the time he got through, all of us fat, lazy Americans felt so small. When we realized the lengths those guys go to. He said, there are many areas there where you could not come. He said, but I can. because I'm one of them. And that's something. Since we sent those 10.5 million tracts to India, one of those five countries, I don't remember which one, is now, it was majority Muslim. It is now 95% Christian. Amen. That right there. They Skype the on Thursday night, they Skype the pastor on the internet that's receiving the tracts in Peru. It'll actually take weeks for him to get them. They hit the ground. They have to go through customs and all this kind of stuff. It's a big ordeal. But he said, we sent 9.5 million to Peru. He said, when we get our hands on them, they'll be gone within a matter of days. Wow. 9.5 million. That's a lot of tracks. That's a lot of tracks. Brother John, we took up an offering here just recently to help send some tracks over to the Dominican Republic. Part Creole. Were they all Creole? Four boxes of Creole and four boxes of Spanish. We sent somewhere in the neighborhood 18,000 tracks over there. I'm telling you, man, this is something to get behind. This is something to use. You got family members that you have a hard time witnessing to? Leave a gospel track for them somewhere. They work. Let's stand our feet tonight. Brother Todd, y'all come. Maybe at the altar call, we could just do this.